I remember the vision we had about things turning to dust. I remember that. Okay, Brother Taylor.
Western Europe, dry, dusty. Brussels, Belgium. It may be fun for sun worshippers, but farmers in Western Europe are struggling through the worst drought in 250 years with no let-up in sight. Women wander around in bikinis in Bonn, miles from the sea. A rainwear factory in Scotland gave up and closed, and a new fainting record was set during the steam oven Wimbledon tennis championships with more than 500 persons passing out in a day. But worst hit of all are the agriculture and livestock regions of Britain and northwestern France, where parched landscapes have taken on a yellow, dusty coloring in the practically rainless past weeks. Statistics show Britain has just suffered its driest year since 1727, and the drought in France is described as the worst since 1725, with only a third of the normal rainfall. Even if the rains come now, a French meteorologist said, it would be too late to save spring corn and cereal crops. Parts of Holland, West Germany, Switzerland, Luxembourg, and usually wet Belgium are also in bad shape, with fears of worse to come if prolonged. Heavy rains do not arrive soon. Other European countries report normal weather conditions.
Brother James gives the more honest heed to the things that he's heard so they don't let him slip. He remembers these predictions and these visions that we speak of, and he's careful to catch the clippings and bring them to us, for which I'm very grateful. Now, I said that the vision was so horrible and that everything turned to powder. It's so horrible that for weeks, I wouldn't even mention it, months, number of months, I guess, that I wouldn't even mention it, even to my own wife. I was so terrified and so tore up as I beheld it. Not only has it hit the world just as I saw it in the vision, the worst in 250 years, moving through nations, not cities, but nations, and also having hit here in the United States, over in Minnesota, $1 billion damage was the last report. It said the cattle were dying, I mean here in the United States. Folks, I know that some of you that are not spiritual, it won't make any difference whether visions are fulfilled or what. But when this drought hits, the Bible said, as on earth, so in heaven. Those things do not hit just to be hitting. When those droughts start hitting, it means the Spirit of God is lifting from the earth. Now, you can believe me. Some of you are not going to believe me. You don't have enough time to believe me for resentment, finding fault. The devil keeps your mind occupied with finding fault with me to keep me from being able to lead you by the Holy Spirit into safety. The devil's going to hold on as long as he can till he steals your soul and damns your soul in a lake of flames. But nevertheless, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I've not lost to one of them, Father. All that you've given to me, they'll come to me. So then it's hitting just exactly the way the Lord said it would hit. That when I saw this great drought begin to drop in, something, that unheard voice and yet ever speaking, said it's too late to write a book. It's too late to preach. It's too late to do anything, and the great multitudes faded away into nothing. Said it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. And I looked, and the Spirit of God had begun to lift from the earth. Folks, the middle of this year, how many of you know I've been watching the Revelation for a number of years and telling you step by step, right on down to the middle of the year? And some of you still want to do your own thing. Some of you still are determined to go your own way. Some of you still have your own plans. All right, every man to his own. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place of the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I'd like to just talk with you and reason with you just a little bit tonight, if I can, concerning the life of Moses and Joshua and what I understand the Lord to be doing. I think all of you agree that right at this time that this is a spectacular time concerning the gospel and the moving of the Spirit. Life is filled with discouragement, a lot of problems and heartaches, always something to hurt you, always something to tear you down, always something to discourage you. But I'm thankful tonight that as God said to Joshua, so has he said to us, be of a good courage. You don't have to be discouraged. You can have a good courage in the midst of all the problems and heartaches, tribulations and sorrows. You can have a good courage. How do you know that? You can be of a good courage and still do something for God. Most people are defeated because they do not have a real determination in God. To be able to succeed for Christ, you've got to have a real determination. It's going to take some perseverance. It's going to take swearing to your own hurt. Somebody that's got to be willing, you know, to let go the world and turn to God and give God all of their heart. Joshua become a great leader after Moses' death. You know why? The Bible said that the spirit of wisdom was upon him. Every leader that God has ever raised up, it's always been because the spirit of wisdom was upon him. How do you know that? It's not because of signs, wonders, and miracles. How do you know that? How do you know that Balaam could see Christ or the Lord Jesus with his eyes open, but he didn't have the spirit of wisdom upon him, and God rejected him? How do you know that? How do you know concerning Jesus that it wasn't the great sign ministry that he had that made him acceptable in the sight of God? But the Bible said, I will make him of a quick understanding. It was because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to give him wisdom. The days of Brother Branham, it was the same way. It wasn't the great signs and wonders that Brother Branham worked that made him acceptable in the sight of the Lord, but it was the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that rested upon him that made him acceptable in the sight of the Lord Jesus. How many of you know that God's interest in humanity is not to perform miracles? How many of you know that? God's interest in humanity is to bring them to the place to where he can cause them to escape eternal damnation and the flames of the pit. It is his desire to instill within us the mind of Christ Jesus, that we may conform to the image of God. Miracles to us are not miracles to God. How do you know that? Everything in this world is a miracle. Trees are a miracle. Everything is a miracle. But to God, there is no such thing as a miracle. In God's world, it's just a great spiritual miracle as far as humanity is concerned. And God just reveals a little bit here and a little bit there that we might be impressed by it, that we might draw closer to the invisible and to the spiritual things, that we might see the greater world and the greater life and the greater mind of Christ and forsake this world. That's all he does it for. His interest is to bring us into his image, into his likeness, into his mind, into his way, and into his desire. And therefore God gives miracles and signs and wonders as a bait to call people into the church. That's what it's for, is to get their attention. Now, I made the statement the other night, I was talking. In the day that's gone by, we've had a great ministry that has come out, and great signs and wonders and miracles. God has wrought great miracles and signs and wonders, and the net of God has been thrown out into the deep, and it has brought forth everything. It has gathered in everything. Some things that are good and some things are bad. Jesus said the minister of the kingdom of God is like a man that casts a net out into the sea, and he draws it in and he brings in everything. But after that he's brought it in, Jesus said, then it is likened unto the man that sits down and takes that which is good and throws back that which is bad. And so then we've been going through a day where the net has been thrown out, and God, through that great ministry, has brought in everything, from harlots to drunkards to liars to cheats to swindlers and everything that the net could get a hold of. But now we've come to a day when God is beginning to cut that off. God is beginning to move in a new and a different way. So then God plants and God plucks up. God gathers in and God casts away. God wounds and God heals. But God is doing something outstanding. We see here, when we read in the book of Joshua, that there came a day when God did not move according to the way that he had moved in Moses' life. God began to do a new thing. Now, I brought out here not too long ago that God was fixing to do a new thing. The Bible said that God will do a new thing. His mercies are new every day. That's a new thing. But God said, I will do a new thing. Now, you say, what is the new thing, Brother Pike, that God is doing? God is doing something so astoundingly new that even the greatest of Bible scholars are literally shocked when they come into the mind of God. It is so brand new. It is so great and so impressive that even the greatest men of the world are stirred to the cores of their heart when they come in contact with it. Though they preach many years, some of them have worked miracles and great things have been done, but yet the new thing of God is shaking them. God said to Joshua, there came a time when the Lord said to him, my servant Moses is dead. You know, that's a hard thing for folks to realize, isn't it? God moves in a great way. God will raise up one man and there's a great move of God through the earth. And then there comes a time when God moves on, and as Brother Branham used the terms, God changes his mask, or that is, as the terms that we use, that God appears in another form. When he was resurrected from the dead, the Bible said that he appeared to them, but he appeared in another form. And it's always God's way to appear in another form. God may appear in your form today. He may appear in my form tomorrow. He may appear in somebody else's form the next day. But there's one thing about it. God always appears in a new form to do a new thing. And there came a day when God said to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. He's dead. It's a hard thing for people to accept the fact that Brother William Branham is dead.
That's right. Somebody says Brother Branham is the messenger of the hour. Brother Branham couldn't possibly be the messenger of the hour. Brother Branham is dead. God doesn't use a dead man as the messenger of the hour. That's absurd. There's no way it could be. The message of Brother Branham is the same as it's always been, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the gospel of Jesus and Paul. It was the gospel of Jesus and Brother Branham. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and me. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and you. The Spirit of God was upon Brother Branham. The Spirit of God was upon Moses. The Spirit of God was upon Joshua. And the Spirit of God is upon me. It's the same thing for every person that believes in Christ. God sends His Spirit to them. Like we were speaking here the other day, I spoke to a number of people. I've had I don't know how many different ministers and people that have come to me. And they say that prophecy has gone forth, that the Spirit of Brother Branham is upon them. Numbers of them. And that they believe that the Spirit of Brother Branham is upon them. A lot of people have disputed with them and said, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. But I do believe it. I do believe it. I do believe that all of you say, Brother Pike, all of these people couldn't have the Spirit of Brother Branham. I believe they could. The Spirit of Moses was upon the people down in the valley. The Bible said He laid His hands on them, and the Spirit of Moses was upon them. And the Spirit of Moses apparently was upon Joshua. Now, I believe that the Spirit of Brother Branham is upon him, for I believe it's the Spirit of Christ. I believe it's the same Spirit that was on Joshua, the same Spirit that was on Elijah, the same Spirit upon Brother Branham. It's upon you. I believe that. But now there is a difference in the measure of the Spirit of God. That's one thing that we're going to have to come to, accept and realize that God deals in different measures. The Spirit of Brother Branham can be upon you, but what measure of that Spirit is upon you? The Spirit of Moses could be upon you, but what measure of Spirit is there upon you? The Spirit of Elias was upon John the Baptist. But what was the measure of the Spirit that was upon John the Baptist? So then it's not a matter of whether or not the Spirit of Moses is upon the people or the Spirit of Elijah is upon the people, as it was said of Brother Branham. It's not a matter or a contest as to deciding whether or not the Spirit of those great people have returned in the body of the people of today. It is a true fact that the Spirit of God is in us. That's the same thing. Why would you want to try to be Brother Branham? Why would you want to try to be Moses? Why would you want to try to be Joshua? Being a son of God is enough. Being a son of God is enough. Who's greater than a son of God? Brother Branham, Joshua, Moses? Who's greater than a son of God? Being a son of God is sufficient. So then, I know that the measure of the Spirit of Christ is given unto us. To one man there's given a measure. To another man there's given a measure. You don't have anything to do with it. I don't have anything to do with it. The Bible said that God had dealt unto every man the measure of the Spirit according to his own desire. He's the one that resurrected from the dead. He's the one that decided it. He's the one that done it. We have nothing to do with it. Now if I boast myself of a false gift, I'm like a well without any water. Is that right? I can get up here and tell you what I can do and who I am and what you ought to think about me. But when I finish with all that I've said, if I boasted myself of a false gift, when it comes time to give the thirsty a drink, there won't be any water. Is that right? So then the Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but soberly according to the measure of faith that's been dealt unto us. You've got a measure, I've got a measure. We're to prove that measure. Not to testify of it, but to prove it. I'm not to try to tell you what kind of measure I've got or how great I am, but it's my job to prove to you what God has placed inside of me. If He hasn't placed anything, there won't be anything coming out. If He's placed the ministry in my life, if He's placed something in my life, then it'll manifest itself and God will bring it out and it will be seen by the people. So then, God brought about a day That day was the change from the Moses to the Joshua of God. There came a day when the change had to come. There came a day when all that Moses had done, though it was ever so great, and it's still with us today is the law and the writings, yet there had to be a change. There had to be a change. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that Brother Branham's ministry is going to go out. You don't believe that Brother Branham's word is going to go out. Brother Branham's ministry is done gone out. When Brother Branham died, there was the end of Brother Branham's ministry. As far as the word of God, whether Brother Branham leaves it with you or I leave it with you, the word of God lives on and on and on and on. Moses' ministry is over. How do you know that? Moses' ministry is over and past and gone. Somebody said, oh, but Brother Pike, don't you know what the Bible says about tribulation? I certainly do. When he comes back, then he'll have some more ministry. You understand what I'm saying? But Moses is gone. God said, Joshua, go tell the people that Moses is dead. You understand what I'm saying? Moses is dead. Folks, Brother Branham is dead. He's dead and buried. And his body's laying up yonder in Jeffersonville, Indiana. If you don't believe it, go up there and dig it up and you can see. Brother Branham is dead. Not going to die, he's already dead. God said, Joshua, tell them that Moses is dead. You know, today you're just about blaspheming the ears of somebody if you say, Brother Branham's dead. Brother Branham's dead. Wesley's dead. Those great men that were back there, they're dead, buried. But folks, I'm not dead. I might be dead tomorrow, but I'm not dead today. And as long as I'm alive, that means that I'm a messenger in the land. As I live, God may not let me go beyond tomorrow. He may not let me go beyond tonight. But I'm alive. I can speak. God lives in the living. God said, Joshua, Moses is dead. Don't let him stay here in the land of Moab. Don't let the people perish. Don't let them take the laws of Moses and say, bless God, we've got the message. Go out there and tell them that it's not just a matter of a message, it's a matter of a man. It's got to be a man. It ain't just a matter of a message. There's got to be a man. People that keep running through the land saying, I'm afraid I'm going to exalt a man, lift up a man. Folks like that need to get some kind of understanding. God lifts up a man. God wants to raise up a man. God uses a man. God always uses a man. God always will use a man. There's nothing wrong with lifting up a man. They lift up ball players and everybody else. What we're supposed to do is lift up the man. The Bible said esteem him very highly for his work's sake. God said do that. If you preach the gospel, you've got to do that. If you don't do that, you're not preaching the gospel. Esteem him worthy of double honor. He's the man of God. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. And God told Gideon, said, Gideon, get out there and tell them people. Old brother Gideon come out there with his sword in his hand. He raised it up. He said, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Wasn't just a sword of the Lord, it was a sword of Gideon too. Gideon and the Lord had become one. When Brother Branham walked this earth, it was the message of Brother Branham and the message of the Lord. Today it's still the same thing. It's the sword of Brother Pike and it's the sword of the Lord. The same today. Hallelujah. 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 The sword of the Lord and the sword of Brother Pike. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. When Brother Hollis went to New York, he didn't go because he wanted to go. The Lord sent him. I said, Brother Hollis, the Holy Ghost sent you to New York. He did send him to New York. When Brother Hollis got there, all he had to do was stand up, say the sword of the Lord and the sword of Brother Hollis. Amen. Praise God. That's what God wants. God wants you to stand out there as a son of God. There's something he's trying to get you to do, folks. Moses is dead, but Brother Hollis is not dead. God wanting to do something. Amen. You find a person always running around saying you can't lift up man, you can't believe man, and we ain't going to do it for man. That person don't even know anything about God. Most likely, that person is a backbiter, a talebearer, and a swindler, and a liar. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 9 times out of 10, he's trying to kill everybody else to lift himself up. But God wants you lifted up. Somebody said, God don't want to lift up a man. God's always lifted up a man. He said, David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote and give you a name like unto the great men of the earth. Is that right? I've taken you from among the sheepcote, David. I've given you a great name. A name like unto the great men of the earth. Hallelujah. You know what God wants? God just wants us to stay little in our own eyes. That's all. As long as we stay little in our own eyes and we say the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon, give him the preeminence, that's all God wants. Hallelujah. If you're a good preacher, preach with all you got. If you're a good teacher, teach with all you got. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. If you're a good singer, sing with all you got. Praise God. And when you stand there, remember it's the song of the Lord and the song of you. That's right. It's the song of the Lord and the song of you. Hallelujah. God's good, ain't he? Can't you just picture somebody? You know, they come in the morning. I want you to see this. Now, I just want to take a little simple thought here tonight. But can't you just picture somebody? They go in the morning. They'll say, you know, the wife has cooked some biscuits for breakfast. They'll say, now these biscuits are real good. But I don't want you to get headed and high-minded now. Anybody could do it. Can't you just picture that? The next morning you might find poison in your biscuits. I know a woman said she'd put some poison in hers. Her husband didn't straighten out. Can't you just picture some man going to a woman and telling her that? You know, your food tastes real good, but I don't want to lift you up now. Can you see that? Can you see that? Sure, I want to lift her up. If she's my wife, and if she cooks good biscuits, then she ought to be lifted up. Hallelujah. Praise God. If she don't cook good biscuits, somebody ought to tell her about it. And I'd like to tell her about it. Tell her to go over to my neighbors and learn how to cook some good biscuits. God wants to do something for you. God is wanting to use you. God's wanting to lift you up. God's wanting to magnify you. God wants to help you. God needs a vessel he can use. The devil hampers people down, puts his feet on them, and they're scared to breathe. They're scared to preach. They're scared to say anything. Always afraid. Somebody said, I'm afraid to get in the flesh. One fellow said, I'm afraid you don't ever get out of the flesh. I'm not afraid I'll get in the flesh. Somebody said, Brother Pike, ain't you afraid you'll say the wrong thing? No. Because the Bible said it's not me that's speaking, but the Father. I'm not afraid I'll get in the flesh. Somebody said, ain't you afraid you get in the flesh? No. Because the Bible said I'm born and is born in flesh of his flesh. I'm already in the flesh. I'm in God's flesh. Glory to God. Ain't that good? Hallelujah. That makes you feel better. After all, somebody said, who do you think you are? I think I'm a son of God. Who do you think you are? Somebody said, that don't make no difference. But Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I think that in my heart. And I tell you, I feel pretty good about it too. I like the idea. I like being a son of God. I like doing the things God does. I love the Lord. I love the way he does things. I love my brothers. I love my fellow man. I'm not trying to do anything out of envy and strife. But brother, it's time that we quit playing Kitty Wants a Corner and start preaching the gospel. It's time we quit fussing and fighting. Trying to tear down everybody else and build ourselves up. Amen. This is a bodily ministry. God's got many members to his body. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. But God wants us all to do right. Hallelujah. God wants you to speak the same thing I'm speaking. And he wants me to speak the same thing you're speaking. And he wants us to speak the same thing they're speaking. And them to speak the same thing we're speaking. Hallelujah. Praise God when we all get together, what a time that will be. Hallelujah. I want little Bethlehem. You know, the word means the house of bread. I want some good biscuits around here, don't you? Hallelujah. I want people to get together. When people come here, I want them to know that this is God's people. This is not somebody that they can put their feet on. This is not somebody that's a nobody. This is God's people. You've got a right to believe you're God's people because you are God's people. If God said I'm a son of God, then as far as I'm concerned, that settles it. I'm not going to sit around and listen to the mouth of the devil try to convince me that I'm something outside of a son of God. If God said I'm a son of God, I'm a son of God. I'm not going to listen to the devil all day long whisper in my ear, and because of his dirty, filthy, low-down thoughts and evil, listen to that. Let him convince me that I don't have the Holy Ghost. Let him whisper in my ear and convince me that I'm backslid in the middle of the day. Brother, let me tell you something. I'm a Christian every morning. I'm a Christian every evening. I'm a Christian in the middle of the day. I'm a Christian when that lying devil's whispering in my ear. I'm just as holy and sanctified and just as pure as I can be. All day long, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God when I get up in the morning. I'm a son of God when I go to bed at night. I'm a son of God if I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm a son of God when the lying tongue and the cheating tongue is accusing me. I'm still a son of God. It don't change me a bit. When people are trying to put me down, God's lifting me up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good, ain't it? I know that God chastens us. Them that he loves, he chastens. I know that we go through trials. I know we go through heartaches. But folks, you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. Somebody said, I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I want to believe that I'm a son of God, you know. But I'm afraid. But the very thing that tells you to be afraid is the lying spirit. Because Jesus said, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Wasn't that what he said? Fear not, Jesus said. Why should you be afraid? God's not giving you the spirit of fear. God don't want you to be afraid. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I get so troubled. Well, why listen to the devil and be troubled? Where did you ever read in the Bible that serving God's trouble? The Bible said serving God's joy. 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 Serving God's joy. You need some joy. Where is the joy of the Lord? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm troubled. But the Bible said serving God is peace. 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 Brother, if you don't have peace, you're not serving God. If you don't have peace when you go to bed at night, you're not serving God. If you don't have peace through the day, you're not serving God. If you don't have peace at night, you're not serving God. Somebody say hallelujah. Serving God's peace. Tonight, I've got peace. I've got peace. I've got joy in my heart. I've got faith in my heart. I believe in God. I don't wake up in the morning thinking God's going to kill me before night. Come on, folks. How in the world are you going to have any faith? Every time you think about God, you think about God standing over you with a whip or with a sword. How in the world are you going to ever get up and do anything for God? Somebody said, well, it's what I've done. Well, quit doing what you're doing. Hallelujah. If it's causing condemnation, quit it. You don't have to do it. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? If I was a shouting man, I'd be shouting all over this place. How do you know what I'm saying? See, God wants us to do something, folks. We can't do nothing if we're discouraged. I've said this so many times. How many of you have a little child? Every time the child goes to pick itself up, you slap his hand back down. You wouldn't do that, would you? How many times have you picked him up when he fell? Took his hand and picked him up. Set his hand on the side of the bed and said, hold on, you can do it. You can do it. And the Bible said, if you so love your children that way, how much more does God love us? How many times God took my hands? Back there before I understood God, I'd get slapped down by the devil. And I'd run to God and I'd say, I'm backslid, I'm lost, Lord. And he'd say, son, don't worry. Everything's all right. I'm not changing my mind. Calvary's still in effect. And then I realized how foolish I was. I said, God said, I don't change my mind every day. I don't change my mind every time you stumble. Every time you make a mistake, I don't change my mind. He said, what it is, you're letting the devil change your mind. I said, now wait a minute. Now wait a minute. If I'm causing the trouble, then I'm going to quit. If I'm the one that's causing the trouble, I'm going to stop it. So I said, from now on, God, I believe in the morning. I believe at noon. I believe at night. I believe when I'm happy. I believe when I'm sad. I believe when everything's going wrong, I still believe. I'm a son of God. 24 hours around the clock, I'm still a son of God. Amen. When I feel sick in my body, I still believe. Praise God. When you shake yourself like Samson did and get up out of the dungeon, walk up before the throne of God, not come dragging up there and say, oh God, Lord, I don't feel like I'm worthy. God, I don't feel like that you're going to give me anything because I'm half backslid. But you go up before the throne of God and you say, Lord, I know that one day Jesus died for my sins. I know that the blood atonement is effective today. I'm here, God, to have the answer. I want you to do something for me, Lord. I want you to do something. And God, I'm not planning to change my mind or go anywhere until you do it. Somebody said, you can't do that. But I did do it. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you can't talk that way. But I did do it. I did do it. I've been before God and get down on my face. And I said, Lord, according to the appropriation of Calvary, you are to give me such and such and such. I said, Lord, I praise you for it. I know it's your delight for me to have it. And the devil is a liar and I'm going to stay here till I get it. Come on, folks. If you go before the throne of God and you're half-hearted, half-persuaded, you'll never get anything from God. Never. The Bible said Abraham was fully persuaded. If the Lord Jesus makes me a promise, I'm fully persuaded. I believe it. I believe it. It don't make any difference what it is. I believe it. I believe it. If God told me something, I believe it. I've been in a dying condition many times, many times. And the spirit of death has stood around my bed. But I said, Satan, you might as well leave. I told him when I know that I was ready for the morgue. But I said, you might as well leave. God promised me life. And I've got life. And I'm going to hold on to it. And you might as well leave because you're not going to take it. Amen. I want to ask you a question. You that are married, you that have children, what would you do if a man come up to your door, tapped on the door and you went to the door, and he said, I come to take your wife?
Come on, folks.
Come on, people. What would you do? What would you ladies do if some woman tapped on your door and said, I've come to get your husband? Some folks would say, get him as quick as you can. But I'm talking about them that love him. Come on now. What would you do? You'd say, now see here, fella, you're mixed up. You're at the wrong house. But if you just said, well, I'm going to take her anyway. Some of you'd say, yes, over my dead body. That's right. That's right. He reached down and grabbed that little curly-headed girl of yours. And brother, if you wasn't sanctified, you'd slap him up beside the head so fast he wouldn't know what was happening. That's right. She'd scream about 3 times and you'd be crawling over him like ain't on honey. That's right, folks. Yes, sirree. So then, if God gave me my life, it belongs to me. If God gave me my health, it belongs to me. And the devil's got no right to it. It don't belong to the devil. And the devil's not going to take it. I said he's not going to take it. He's not going to take it. It's mine. God gave it to me. Amen. You know what's the trouble? The Bible said we wrestle against those powers. Some of you grow weary in well-doing. You need to do a little wrestling. Do a little wrestling. If it's yours, don't give it to the devil. How do you know that death is God's enemy? When death comes around, you say, now see here. You're God's enemy. If you and God ain't friends, me and you ain't friends. I ain't having no friendship with anybody. God won't fellowship. And God don't fellowship the devil, so I'm not going to fellowship him. Death is the enemy of God, so death is my enemy. If God's not pleased with him, I'm not pleased with him. If God don't fellowship him, I ain't going to fellowship him. If God won't have him around his house, I ain't going to have him around mine. Somebody say amen. The Bible said, and they rose up and took the kingdom. How can you do that? To know who you are and what's promised to you. Folks, the devil ain't going to give up without a fight. How many of you know that? The devil ain't going to quit without a fight. God wants you to put up a fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. How have you ever fought a good fight? Amen. Fought a good fight. How have you scared of the devil? Well, if you're not scared of him, why do you act like him? How do you believe you got power over death? Sure, you got power over death. The Bible said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. And death is your enemy. If you got power over him, why do you let him kill you? It's time to do something, folks. Somebody said, ha, 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 he'll kill you tomorrow. But there's one thing about it, ha, 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 fight him until he does. Amen. Satan ain't going to kill me until God gets ready to turn me over to his hands. If God sees fit to turn me over to his hands that he might extend his glory to a further greatness as he did through Calvary, I'm willing to go. But unless he does, I'll be around you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You follow me? I ain't got no fellowship with the devil. I ain't making no plans to die. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean you're not planning to die? I'm not planning to die. I'm not making any plans to die. Everybody's making plans to die. Let me see your hand. Not making any plans to die. You say, what are your plans? To live. Them folks out yonder are making plans to die. They're making plans. They're buying all the insurance they can and everything they can get. They're making plans to die. But I'm not making plans to die. Jesus said, behold, I come to give you life. And more abundantly. I'm making plans to live. How can you live? God said, Joshua, tell them my servant Moses is dead. He's dead. He's dead. But you get those people together and we're going over Jordan. We're going over Jordan. We are going over Jordan. What's Jordan? That old carnal mind of yours, that's Jordan. That old carnal mind of yours, that's Jordan.
How many of you know that? The carnal mind is Jordan. That old carnal mind of yours, that's Jordan. We're going over Jordan. What is Jordan? Getting over the fear of death. Getting away from that thing that threatens us. Getting away from that. Rising up, taking the kingdom of God. How do you want to live? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm old. The Bible said Moses was too. But his eyes wasn't dim. The natural force of his body wasn't abated. Oh, Brother Abraham was old, but he went and fought a battle. Oh, Brother Caleb said, I feel like a young man, went and fought a battle. Oh, Brother Marlowe said, I don't feel tired. Somebody say hallelujah. The joy of the Lord's our strength. God's good, ain't he? You feel like you can whip a lion? Amen. Samson done it, I can do it too. Hallelujah. If the Hebrew children could walk through the fire, I can do it too. If Daniel could sleep with the lions and be all right in the morning, I can do it too. Somebody say, I'd like to see you do it. I'd like to see me do it too. Hallelujah. A lot of people talk about David and how brave David was. Went up on the mountain and killed that giant. But according to the Bible, he wasn't the only brave fella. There's four or five others that's just as brave. I related to you how that one of them jumped down in a den with a lion and killed the lion. I related how another one of David's warriors went up to a great giant. He didn't get a slingshot and hit him with a rock. He went up and took his sword out of his hand and killed him with his own sword. That's pretty brave. You take a fellow 8 or 9 feet tall, and he's coming at you with a butcher knife. You don't feel like running up taking it out of his hand. But that fellow did. He took it out of his hand and killed him with it. See, God is the same in Brother Branham, the same in you. He's the same in me, the same in Moses, the same in Joshua. Joshua, tell my people that Moses is dead. So they mourned for 30 days. Then God said, tell them to fall in. We're fixing to move. Oh, Brother Joshua took command, hollered, fall in, and they fell in. And the Bible said they listened at him just like they did Brother Branham, Moses. I said, if it's God that's speaking and it's not you, you should listen at it just like you did somebody else. Is that right? If it's God in Brother Branham, it's God in me, it's God in you, then who are we listening to? Is it not God? Who are we following? Isn't it God? Who are we expecting to take us over this Jordan? Isn't it God? Come on, folks. If you're looking at anybody else, you're going to be left. It's God. You love the Lord? I wish I wasn't hoarse tonight. I'd love to preach to you. It stirred up a little bit, and I feel like preaching. I've been hoarse for a number of days, you know. One day I'll shake it off. But I feel like preaching to you. Folks, it's time to get over Jordan. That old carnal mind of yours has kept you in bondage long enough. You need to swallow that thing down and get away from it. Quit thinking about death. Quit thinking about sickness. Quit thinking about defeat. Quit thinking about lust and hatred and resentment and all these other things. Tail bearing, strife, malice. Quit thinking about money and lust of the flesh. Think about God. Meditate in his laws day and night. Quit thinking about how good looking you are. How pretty you are. How that you just make women swoon over you. Anybody listening? The women just can't stand it when you get around. The men just can't stand it, lady, when you get around. You ever consider the fact you're nothing but a hunk of flesh and bones that'll rotten and stink? And ain't nobody making a fuss over you except the devil that's going to stink with you? It's just the devil in that person. Calling to the devil in that person. so they can have a devilish time together until it all rottens and stinks. Now, don't you feel much prettier now? Don't you feel better looking now? How do you know God's got a real good beauty parlor? Sure. Runs the best beauty parlor in the world. Said, I'll beautify the meek with salvation. If you've never been to God's beauty parlor, you need to go there. He beautifies the meek with salvation. How have you got salvation? You're beautiful in God's sight. All right, let's stand together. You love the Lord? Always remember one thing, folks. Put your confidence in God. You want to see God? Like, take a look. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. The life I now live, I live with the Son of God. You believe that? That's why Jesus said, how can you love God whom you've not seen? He's a spirit. And you can't love his body whom you have seen. That's your brother. You can't love the spirit without loving his body. You ever tried loving your wife without loving her body? You ever tried that? You ever tried loving your little girl without loving her body? The little boy without loving the body? Can you do it? Somebody said, my love for him is in my heart. It couldn't be. Love is expressed indeed, not word. If there is no expression of love, there is no love. Love expresses itself. That's right. Man slap his wife over the bed every day. Say, honey, I love you. You understand what I'm saying? So then, Moses is dead, but Joshua's still alive. It's time to pray. It's time to fast. It's time to seek God. It's time to do something. It's time for you to get your sword and whet it. Cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. Time to dip your sword in blood, folks. There's a war going on. Let's sing a little chorus together. I love you tonight. Paul said, I tell you the truth, I become your enemy. You know why? You don't have a love for the truth. Because you don't have a love for the truth, he turned you over to a reprobate mind, lets you believe what you want to. That's what a reprobate mind is, you believe what you want to. Bible said reprobate to every good work. Believe what you want to. That's your carnal mind, the mind that come from the fall in the garden. Be carnally minded is death. Lean not to your own understanding. It's death. I wish that I could preach you a sermon sometimes on life and death. That's true. If I didn't keep my body pulled down so much being out here at 12 and 1 o'clock, my throat wouldn't get tied up like this. It don't tie up like that. You know, when I get a little rest. When I stay up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just keep on, keep on. It takes my strength. When I get up here to preach, it ties my throat up. But I left to preach a sermon concerning life and death. You don't know what you got. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you can do. You don't. But I tell you, if you ever learn what death is and learn what life is, learn why men die and why men live, it'll be happy days. Oh, happy days. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing the little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. and we'll sing of His wonderful love. You know how you can glorify God tonight? Do you know how you can glorify Him? There's the way that you can glorify God. You know how that God receives glory? It's when He sees you. How many of you know that man that's made in His image, the sons of God? How many of you know that you are the glory of God? Somebody would say, well, bring glory to God. No. I've quoted this so many times. The Bible said His glory He will not give to another. But I'm not another. I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. That's why He gave me His glory. That's why Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that You glorified Me with before the world ever was. Make these one, Father, as we're one. One body. One glory. You follow me? For them that He sanctified, He's justified, and He has glorified. We are the glory of God. We've been glorified. That's the only part of God the world can see is you and I. No man sees God. No man's ever seen God. No man can see God. God is the great light. God is the Spirit. No man can approach unto Him. We're the glory of God. Folks see God through our lives. That's why you should sing for God's glory. You should preach for God's glory. You should live holy for God's glory. You should be righteous and pure. You should prophesy for God's glory. You should have the gifts of the Spirit for God's glory. You're God's body. You're God's members. Have you noticed the limbs that bear the fruit? Have you know that? Jesus said, I'm the vine. Come on. My Father's the husbandman. But He said, ye are the branches. It's My Father's good pleasure that you bear much fruit. Is that right? Somebody said, what a lovely vine. Why? He said, because the fruit tastes good. Isn't that right? Walk over to Brother Bob Marable and pick a luscious piece of fruit off of it, you know. Say, what a lovely vine. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Bob said, good fruit comes from My Father. He's the husbandman. Hallelujah. Come in My Father's name. Isn't that right? You're God's glory tonight. The only glory that God's got is you, and the world is looking for that glory. Are you going to show it to them? For man is the glory of God. He's the image of God. Don't that make you feel better? Hallelujah. Sing that song, lift me up above the shadows. Plant my feet on high ground. Okay, let's give the glory to Jesus. Can we sing it again? And we'll give...